This is the Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD On The Net, bringing you what's happening and who's happening on the campus of Cerritos College. Here are your hosts, Tito Benavides and Enrique Rivera.
Today is August 31st, 2011. Welcome to Talon Marks Campus News Hour, bringing you Cerritos College news and information campus-wide. Cerritos College is adding math and English classes to the second half of the fall semester. Campus News Hour asks both students and faculty if they believe they'll benefit from these additions. Patrick Dolly reporting.
Adam Rodriguez, film.
Okay, and Adam, the question that we're trying to find out is, we're going to be adding additional classes the second half of this semester for English and math, and we're just trying to find out what students think about that.
That's a totally great idea. I mean, I don't think you'll find one student on this campus that doesn't want more math and English classes. Those are like the hardest ones to get into. Math and English, definitely. I mean, I don't think you'll find one student that would disagree with that. It's one of those things where it's like, they want you to transfer, but then they're not really helping us transfer. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, we have to meet each other in the middle, and this is the start.
So do you think that by adding additional classes, this would help?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it lets people get the credits that they need and not take classes, you know what I mean? That doesn't even go towards your major or is not even transferable, you know what I mean? But you're just filling and wasting time and wasting money instead of taking the classes you actually do need.
Isaac Chavez, computer science.
Yeah, I'd love to have another class for English. You know, I was trying to take one, and it turned out that it was full, and it was, like, not just me, but 30 other people trying to add the same class. So, I mean, that's enough to make another class. And even with, like, that's just one class. There's other classes where people are still trying to, like, get in there. So I think if you had another English class, that'd be perfect.
If in the situation, say, for example, people don't go to the class, people just decide they don't want to take class that long or something like that,
it'd be a waste of money.
So you do think that it would be a waste of money?
Well, yeah, it'd be, I guess you'd have to really find out, you'd have to put out like a list or, you know, like sign up for this, and if they have enough people, then start the class. Otherwise, it'd be like a misappropriation, like of funds that aren't even there.
Francie Cost-Berryman, English department, professor of English.
We know that there's going to be additional classes added in the second half of the semester for English and math. And I was just trying to get the professor's opinion about what you think about that.
Anytime we can add the math or the English classes, I think that's going to help students. There's such a high demand for that. Mm-hmm. The more of those we can offer, the better it is for students.
And do you think that it would make the workload harder on the professors?
What it would mean is they'd be hiring additional adjunct faculty. And again, work's tight for adjunct faculty, so it's a good thing for those people as well, because it'll open up some classes that they might not have gotten before.
My name is Manuel Lopez, an associate professor of mathematics at Cerritos. I'm also the math specialist for the Success Center. Of course, as a professor, if we can find the money to fund more classes, I know that I have turned away many students who needed to enroll in the math classes that I do teach. And I know there is a need there for more sections of all levels of class.
Do you think that a 9-week course would be harder or more difficult, seeing as how it's possible that it will all be condensed into such a shorter time?
Well, you would have the same number of hours in the class. The difference would be you probably would meet with the class 4 times a week instead of twice a week. That kind of continuity sometimes helps students stay focused. Sometimes 18 weeks for many of our students drags a little. It won't work for everybody. There will be some students for whom the pace will be a little bit overwhelming, but that is the case with any type of class that we offer. It'd be great if there was one mode or type of class we could offer that would work for every single student. I don't know of such a thing.
It seems like you are in favor of the additional classes. What would you say that there is a downside? Is there something that you would not be looking forward to with regards to this addition?
I mean, I can imagine because we have a limited number of rooms, the things can get a little crazy with trying to use, you know, every room for every hour of the day here at the campus. That can create a little. I can see creating a little bit of a logistic problem for the people who have to schedule rooms. But from my point of view as the instructor, it's mostly positive.
I'm here with Marilyn Brock, who is the interim VP of Academic Affairs. Did you say two English and two math, or?
Well, it may end up, we may end up with four new classes.
Okay.
I'm not sure, for sure we'll have two English, and I'm not sure what the other two will be at this moment.
Okay.
Because these will be 9-week classes, and so we're looking for faculty right now to pick up those additional classes.
With the addition of these classes, have you guys selected how you're going to go about, like, is it going to be English 20, English 40, or, you know, English 52?
Department chairs in those areas are still working on that.
With it being 9-week class, are you at all concerned about the amount of time and the amount of course load that the students are going to have to fit into such a short time?
Well, we offer a lot of 9-week classes across the campus now anyway, and it's really up to the student whether they can, do double the amount of work in half the amount of time. For instance, if you have a class that normally meets 3 hours a week, in a 9-week class, it'll meet 6 hours a week. So you've doubled the class time, and then you've doubled the amount of time you're going to have to spend on homework. So, you know, would I suggest that people take more than one or two 9-week classes? It depends on what their total class load looks like. But it's also a great way to get through coursework quicker and to get more units during the semester. So if somebody is managing their course load really well right now and they can add a 9-week class, then they may be able to finish their total academic units faster.
CNH visits the first inter-club council meeting of the fall semester. Students participating in the various clubs on campus have come together at the ICC meeting to work together on different ideas that will benefit each other. Carlos Blandino reporting.
Cal Ramirez. Math. It's going to be called the Inter-Club Tournament, and it's going to be the first annual tournament hosted by the iFalcon Club. It'll be several games leading up to a final and semifinal, and it's just a tournament between clubs for a scholarship. So if we get, and each club has to pay $10 entry fee. So for every club that joins the tournament will be an extra $10 that's added to the scholarship. And at the end, the champion club will win a trophy, the scholarship of however much is raised, and their name on a plaque in ASCC that'll be there for years and years to come.
All right, one more question. What do you think about ICC meetings like this for clubs? Do you think it's a good idea that clubs are networking with each other?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the best way for clubs to really get their ideas and their events out to other clubs, because there's really no other way for people to do it besides maybe Facebook and contacts that they already had in other clubs.
Yeah. And what makes it different this time than last time? Did you come to the ICC meeting last semester?
Yeah.
Do you see any difference? Do you see new faces? Do you feel like more people are showing up?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, we'll see. It's just the beginning of the semester.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like there's a lot more energy this year, so that's really cool to see that. It's kind of inspiring, you know, to see all these people, and even people who aren't in clubs, who are just interested in clubs, coming in and looking for something to join. So it's inspiring.
Daniel Fragoso, Commissioner of ICC.
Major.
Business Administration.
So I see that you guys were having an ICC meeting for the beginning of this semester, and so far, how do you feel like the meeting went?
I feel it went really good. I think we're going to have a good year this semester. It's going to be a lot of energy and a lot of student involvement.
Yeah. And do you feel like any different this semester than last semester? Any new faces, people motivated, new, you know, like?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen a lot of new faces. A lot of people were trying to get involved with clubs here too, and they weren't even part of the clubs, and it's good to see that.
And do you think meetings like this is good for school students to talk about what they want to do and network with each other?
Yeah, I think it's a great meeting. I think we should have more of these meetings so we could network and become a better school.
Mariana Magallon.
Major.
Political science.
So what do you think about ICC meetings like this? Do you think it's a good idea that we're having meetings like this where clubs go network with each other, help each other out?
I do. do think so, because it's the spread of ideas, and we all could get together and work with each other, like spread our ideas, basically.
What's your message you've been here?
I've been. This is my my fifth semester.
And what makes it this time different than last semester?
I feel. I think there's more people who want to join. I guess it's really a need to be in a club, being able to share something. So this meeting was really good. I sadly came in the last part, but I enjoyed whatever I got from it.
Yeah. This is a good place to go for students to go at it and then you don't get information.
It is a good place because it's a variety of clubs. Like, no students are going to know where the clubs are.
My name is Amna, A-M-N-A, last name Jara, J-A-R-A. I go by AJ. I am the coordinator of student activities.
So how do you feel like the ICC meeting went today?
I think it went really well. It was a good way to kick off the semester for the clubs. And I appreciated all the ICC reps we got.
Do you think there was good information for students that are interested in joining clubs? Today?
I think so.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so too.
Good.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what I think.
Well, no, it does because we write the agenda, so we definitely want your input.
Yeah. So, do you feel, did you see any new faces?
I did. I saw a lot of new faces, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. And do you feel this is a good thing for Cerritos students, ICC meetings?
I think so. It gets everybody on the same page. You know, they find out what's going on, what's coming up in the rest of the month, and I think it's a good way to communicate to all the clubs.
Justin McIntyre?
What do you think about the ICC meeting today, how it went for students that were wanting to get the information about clubs?
The ICC meeting, in my opinion, went really well. I got to know a lot more of the clubs that are out there. I heard of quite a few clubs I didn't know, such as like the Broadcasting Club and a few others. It was a generally like efficient meeting. A lot of stuff went down. It was pretty cool.
Anything you're looking forward into, looking forward in this semester for your club?
I'm interested in like connecting with other clubs, planning like major events that'll like help out the students and like get people to know each other and help network and all that.
Any ideas? Can you say like event like going out to the beach? Any event that you're probably thinking about doing? It doesn't have to be like something you guys are gonna do. It's something that's just in your mind.
Yeah. Well, I know last semester a friend of mine's club had like a club inter-club bonfire thing. I was thinking about starting something like that, something where different clubs can meet up and get to know each other and just have fun. You know, at college we work all the time, but sometimes it'd be cool to just have fun. And just like the iFalcon and what they're doing with the whole like competition thing, the whole club scholarship thing.
Yeah,
it's doing really well too. It's pretty cool.
Economic president, right?
Yeah, the president economic, of the economics club.
And major.
I'm an economics major too.
Yeah. All right.
David Bonthius.
Major.
Business administration.
How many times have you been to ICC meetings?
This is the first time.
All right. So, what do you think about the ICC meeting that went out today? You think it was informative, good information for new students that are interested in doing club things?
Yeah, it was informative. I think it's a good place to meet people. Yeah, I'm trying to start a snowboarding club, so. Basically, we're going to try to do some snowboarding trips up to Big Bear and possibly up to Mammoth. So basically, the way I'm trying to raise money is I have a screen printing business that I've been running for a while now. And I'm trying to get all the clubs to get t-shirts for themselves. And all the proceeds from the club t-shirts are going to go towards the snowboarding club and, you know, getting people to go snowboarding and, you know, renting equipment and stuff like that.
All right. One more question. So what do you think about that? You think this is a pretty good thing for students?
Oh, definitely. I think if you want to get involved in campus, this is where to start.
Campus NewsHour asks the student body, what do you think about solicitors on campus on this week's Free Speech Zone? Staff writers Patrick Dolly, Alejandra Ayala, and Philip Oakley reporting.
Staff writers Patrick Dolly and Alejandra Ayala ask students what they thought about solicitors.
Need Jen. My major is engineering. It's irritating sometimes, especially when you're busy, when you're rushing for a class and they actually follow you and ask you to sign the petition, and even if like some people are really irritating. But it's okay, it's not a big problem though. You know? I mean, unless I don't think anybody has a problem signing it, but
Gustavo Zaragoza.
What's your major?
Art and design.
Okay. And the question that we want to know is what do you
Well, I've done it twice already. It's doesn't really bug me that much. I mean, if it's for a good cause, I guess. I mean, I guess it could be a little inconvenient, you know? Oh, no, not at all. If that was the case, I'd probably just leave anyways. I wouldn't bother with them.
Okay. Do you think that there's anything?
Well, these guys are just trying to pull people in, you know? They're trying to get their attention. It's really hard to get people to sign their papers, you know? They're just sitting around twiddling their fingers.
Do you have any other experiences with any
game?
No, it doesn't bother.
No? Do you
as long as they, like, keep their... I guess if you say no and they keep bothering you, then it does. Yeah.
And does that, like, do you, like, pretty much give them what they want? Like, if they're asking for money or...
No, not...
Signature, no?
Not if it doesn't, like, I guess... I trust them, I guess,
yeah.
In what they're trying to... say to me or get from me. So okay. if I don't like it, I won't do it.
Yeah, like recently, have you had any here in school?
Yeah, a couple of people, like,
yeah.
Over there just wanted me to sign some stuff, but I didn't like what they were trying to.
What were they offering?
Just random stuff, but I guess some for banks and everything. But I already.
Not interested?
Yeah, no.
Okay, and you're not that mean to them? You don't just flip out of them or ignore them and just walk away?
No, okay. I just say no thank you and just keep going.
Reacting, and my major is sociology.
And how do you spell your last name?
Acting, A-G-T-I-N-G.
Okay, and what do you think about being solicited on campus?
Honestly, it doesn't really bother me. I'm a very open person, so if they, you know, they want to get signatures or they're trying to sell something like the magazines, like the college magazines, they don't bother me. The Christianity stuff doesn't bother me either. I'm a Christian, so I believe in that.
Yeah, okay, please say your name. Edward. Edward, last name?
Lopez.
What's your major?
Still undecided, currently. Oh, I don't know. It doesn't really bother me.
Do you, like, have you signed in for something?
No, not yet.
No? Do you trust it?
Not really, I guess.
No? Okay. Well, lately, have they been soliciting you? Well, how about, like, out of school? Do you feel any different? Like, when people from church or something come by?
No, it's the same to me.
You're laid back about it?
Yeah.
All right. What's your name?
Denise. D-E-N-I-S-E.
And your last name?
Pacheco, P-A-C-H-E-C-O.
What's your major?
Nursing,
okay.
Well, it's a bit distracting because sometimes when I'm trying to rush to class, like, it's kind of a distraction. Or sometimes I have friends that don't want to pass through here for that same reason. But that's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, have you signed in for anything?
I haven't because I just try to avoid it. But I see, like, there's a lot of people that it's hard for them to say no, so they just...
Jason Revilla.
Jason, what's your major?
Physical therapist. When I already signed, well, they asked me first time, and I signed it, and they don't have to, like, ask me every time I go out of class, yeah.
Is this your first semester?
Yeah, it's my first semester.
So how many experiences have you had with people stopping you and asking you questions?
Well, sometimes I kind of, like, being forced to, like, write stuff down because they kind of, like, say, like, oh, it's for, like, my books and stuff, so.
Have you been affected? Like, have you missed the class or have you been late to class because of this?
No, not really, because I tell them that if I'm, like, running late, I tell them, oh, I'm running late. I can't do this right now.
This is Phil Bacoli from Telemarks. Back to you.
Director of Bands and Orchestra David Betancourt gives Campus News Hour an inside view on what to look forward to as well as what is expected of students in the music department. Staff writer Lucia Sarabia reporting.
Okay, so I'm David Betancourt, director of the Bands and Orchestra at Schroeder College.
What are the key tasks for orchestra teacher?
It's really sort of multi-level. There's a lot of different skill sets you need. You need to, of course, be a good musician. Mm-hmm. So really have a broad scope of, like, how each of the instruments are played, how to help students who need help with certain techniques or musical concepts, rhythms, phrasing, breathing, bowing, anything like that. You need to have the ability to be able to study a score like this one. And your recorder can't see it, but to study something like this and basically like reading a book.
Okay.
When you read a book, you hear the words in your mind, right? It's really, you can hear all the sounds and everything going on, and you probably see pictures as you're reading. This is what happens when you read a score as a conductor. You can hear all these notes happen. You can hear what it sounds like without any sound actually being created. So to have the ability to do that, then you have the ability to take that and get in front of a group and rehearse them, like, fix all the things to make it sound the way the composer intended. So you get to be able to work with them and doing that, figuring out how to pace the rehearsal, how fast the slow you need to go, what things you can fix now, what things you have to wait till later, how to build a musicianship level, doing all that at the same time. Organization, you know, of a rehearsal, in what order you're going to play pieces, how you're going to rehearse those pieces, all the stuff behind the scenes. And of course you have to be a good, I think, you have to be a very good teacher too. They have to work together. Be able to communicate with the students, relate to the students, have interpersonal skills, communication skills. You know, it doesn't matter how well you can learn a score or play an instrument if you can't communicate to the students your intent or the intent of the learning process, then they're not going to get it anyways.
Right.
So I think that's sort of what you have to bring to the table if you're going to be the director of, like, the orchestra.
Right. Okay. How do you prepare for the concert?
Okay, I prepare by really knowing the score. I have to know the piece of music really well so that I can have really productive, effective rehearsals and fun and musical and passionate and everything all combined in one shot. And I prepare by sort of working backwards. I know when my concert's going to be, the concert of whatever group I'm working with, and then I work backwards from that.
How do you pick the music?
I pick it based on a couple different factors. One is the musical value of the piece. I try to pick something that has value that we can bring to the group and find some relevance with the music, whether it's, you know, it's in a historical context or musical context, something about the piece that I think would really interest and fascinate the students about how it's put together musically or historically, why the piece was written or at one time period it was written or these kinds of things. I also pick it according to the level. I have to make sure I pick something that matches the students, whether they're, where I can push them just a little bit further than they're comfortable, but not so far that they lose the intent of the music.
What is the hardest thing about putting together a concert?
I don't think there's anything really hard about it. Sometimes it can
stressful?
Be tedious. Sometimes, yeah, and sometimes it can be stressful. If we don't have all the members contributing equally, they're not working towards the same goal, that becomes very difficult and stressful to deal with because you have the majority of players who are putting a lot of time into learning the pieces. And if a few players don't do that, it makes it difficult to have a really productive rehearsal, and everybody can feel it. Everybody feels the tension of that, of people not stepping up to the plate, just like in any, like sports, which would be a perfect analogy.
Yeah. You know,
any team that works together, if you decide, suddenly three of your players decide, not so much.
That brings me to my next question. What do you enjoy most about it?
I enjoy teaching about life through music.
Okay.
So regardless of what kind of group I'm conducting, the opportunity to experience life through music, to learn and to be able to share that with students and community members and anybody who comes within reach of me.
Right.
You know, I just enjoy that. And so to me, music is a sort of a tool or a conduit for me. You know, it's a way to connect with the students, but ultimately I'm not just teaching those one or two people who are going to be famous musicians.
Yeah.
I'm teaching everybody about music, and really more in the bigger picture, I'm teaching them about life and life skills and how to be with each other and how to be about each other through music. And music just is a really nice tool for doing that, because nobody comes in here to play in an ensemble that doesn't want to be here.
Well, that's all for today.
That's it?
Thank you.
Okay.
Cerritos College is introducing Zumba fitness classes as an evolution of the pound-by-pound program. Zumba combines aerobic and dance maneuvers, which include hip-hop, salsa, mambo, and elements of martial arts. Campus NewsHour speaks with Dean of Student Health Services, Nancy Montgomery, to find out when and where these classes will begin. Staff writer Anthony Hodge reporting.
Zumba will start the week of the 12th. And September 12th. So it's going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And it'll be Tuesdays and Thursdays in the morning, and then Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 5 and 6. And it's all going to be held in the Student Center stage. Okay. So over there. So all the classes will be held there. And what we did, it's still under the pound-by-pound program mm-hmm. that we started a couple of years ago mm-hmm. for weight loss. But what we did was we just tried to rejuvenate the workouts.
Okay.
It's just one of those things that sometimes you have the boot camps and whatever's going on. It becomes stale. People don't want to continue in it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of found that we were losing a little bit of our groups coming in because we've lost the gym and we lost a lot of space on workout and we just got this backfield going again. But so what we did was we rejuvenated the program and now we're going to do the Zumba. And Zumba's fun and it's supposed to be great to exercise. You can lose anywhere from 600 to 800 calories per session. So I think it'll be really good for the students and staff. So whoever joins, it'll be just one of those workouts that'll be fun. And we still have the dietitian 2 days a week here on Tuesdays and then Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. So the dietitian is still open to any student that wants to come and use their services. Mm-hmm. They can develop diet plans. They can do show you how to lower different calories, how to prepare foods differently, better choices. We still do the market tours mm-hmm. where we take you out to the grocery store, and usually about 12 people is the max we can take on that. And the dietitian shows you the good foods to choose mm-hmm. and how to read labels. So that works out really good. So we'll still have the dietitians to help them, and then we'll just do this as the exercise component. And hopefully people will still do walking or whatever. And the two individuals that will be teaching this Zumba class is Judy Chan. She's one of our PE instructors. And then another individual that works with her that's has PE experience and workout experience. So there'll be two of them teaching them, and they'll kind of tell them also to make sure you go in and talk with the dietitian if you're losing weight and all of these things and what to eat before and afterwards and all that. So again, it's kind of run the same thing as the pound by pound program. So I think it'll be a really good program for the students and staff.
This isn't like a particular class for Cerritos, it's just a program?
Just an outside program that's free to anybody.
Okay.
Only students and staff. It's free to anybody on the campus here that's enrolled for students and staff. There's no charge at all, and there's no credits. You don't get any credits. It's more of a kind of an exercise program that we're trying to do to help people lose weight mm-hmm. and get working with a dietitian and what have you, but it's really to improve health. That's the whole ultimate goal.
Okay.
Improve health.
So will anyone in the outside of campus be able to join?
No. Okay. They have to be enrolled in the campus, and they have to or be a staff member.
Do you have like any like examples of what's going to be in the program as far as like the workout sessions, like any cardio workouts?
It's a dance program, and it goes for the full hour. And what it's like to Latin American music, and it's really and just fun. But you can sometimes see them on the video channels, you know, of dance workouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the Latin dance, it's got a mixture of all of them in there, of the Latin dances. Mm-hmm. And when you move and do all these things, it builds muscles. And that's why they started doing it. It causes you to sweat profusely, which is good because you're burning calories, but it's more of a fun workout. So I think it's going to be really fun along with losing calories and toning.
Okay.
So it should work out really good.
Freddie Falcon.
This week's featured faculty member is head of the ceramics program, Stephen Portugal. CNH takes an in-depth view of the ceramics program and what it has to offer students. Staff writer Robert Weaver reporting.
What does this course get then? Degree or working toward a degree or certification?
It can be part of an AA degree. Yeah, you can get an AA degree with an emphasis in art and or a major in art and an emphasis in ceramics. So what it gets many of them are that it's transferable when they go to a four-year institution. What it gets all of them at the beginning level is that it fulfills the general education requirement. So this is one of many classes that you could take to fulfill the humanities portion of the general education. You know, we have a whole range of students in here. But, I mean, the largest number are beginning students who will take right now there are two beginning classes of 30 each, so that's 60. And then there I have the intermediate students are all in one, meet at one time. Some people who just absolutely fall in love with this art medium and want to continue and learn as much as they can. I have a former student right now who is on her way to, may already be, she went from here to Cal State Long Beach majoring in ceramics and is now studying sculpture at Yale, which is about as good as it gets, one of the Ivy League schools.
What could this potentially lead to as far as a job?
It's a good question. It can. It's, you know, it's not something particularly in this economic environment that I would encourage somebody to choose, but if you're determined, you'll find a way. So, yeah, I mean, there are jobs. There is not much industry, but one can, you know, become a practicing artist and make a go of it that way. I mean, some people have left the program and done that. One can certainly pursue a higher education and become a teacher, you know, at many levels. Either, you know, you could get a master's degree and go on to teach at high school or at the college level or junior high school. So there are those options. There aren't a lot of jobs per se in this field right now. There was a time when there was a ceramic industry in the United States, but most of it's gone overseas now to China or South America. I mean, there was a time in Southern California where there were some very significant and important factories. You know, if a student really, really wants to do this, I certainly will encourage them to do it, but they need to be aware that, you know, this may not offer them the greatest financial security, but, you know, that may, you know, some people are willing to deal with that risk in order to do what they want to do.
So really, what do the students learn here as far as ceramics? What do they learn about it?
They learn everything from the ground up. I mean, the beginning students learn to understand how to use the material to create a variety of different forms. They learn the entire process from the creation of the form to the firing process. The beginning students don't get involved in the firing process, but they learn, you know, what it does and its significance. And then they learn a variety of glaze application techniques. So they learn about the glazes and glaze firing. And then, you know, towards the end, they learn how to put everything they have done in this first semester together to create a unique personal expression in the final project. So it's a pretty all-inclusive. The beginning semester really takes them through the whole thing. And if they choose to go on, they will learn more and a more diverse range of techniques and materials and approaches. I mean, in the beginning semester, you really just scratch the surface. You touch on, you know, the various hand-building techniques, pinch, coil, slab, and maybe the potter's wheel, and then if you choose to continue on, you can develop more expertise in either or both of those areas, and then you learn, you know, greater, more in-depth use of glazes, and glaze decoration, that sort of thing. And you'll, as you'll see in a few moments, you'll be amazed at what some of these students have come up with.
What's the practical use of this art?
Well, it is of an extremely practical art form. Maybe probably the most practical one here, in that you can make things that you would use, right? I mean, just about everything I eat off of at home, I made, or one of my friends made. So that's a particularly appealing part of this. I mean, not everything that people make here gets used. Some of it is purely visual, but there are plenty of people here who are making things that are functional. So I can't think of anything else. I mean, the painting program, the purpose of a painting is to, you know, provide something which is visually interesting and stimulating and in your home. I mean, I hesitate to use the word decoration, but sometimes it may be the case.
Could you talk a little bit more about, I like what you said earlier, about how pottery is basically a record of past civilization. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Just about every culture, and certainly the ones, the most populous cultures, all throughout Asia, just about all of Africa, the Middle East, all of Europe, all in the United States. I mean, all of these cultures have produced pottery, and done so for in some cases for a long, long time. I mean, the origins of pottery making are, I believe, in the Fertile Crescent. What is present-day Iraq and Iran. You know, a very significant part in some cases when we were, you know, just the advent of pots and the making of pots, I'm sure it changed things. I mean, it allowed you to store food in a relatively safe environment, one free from pests and that kind of thing. So, you know, it had major, was quite a significant invention.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat with Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat with Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat with Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
Students can look forward to a new and improved Talon Marks online edition with the addition of the powerful new computer program, Ellington. Journalism students will be using the state-of-the-art software to be better prepared for the transition into the professional journalism world. Staff writer Yuri Gutierrez reporting.
We're here with
Jim Brannon, online editor for Talon Marks.
Have you gotten a chance to work with the Ellington program yet?
Yes, we've done some training sessions so far. Mr. Cameron, Alicia, and I, we've learned a lot about the capabilities of the site, and it looks very good. It's a very powerful tool to deliver the news to Cerritos College.
And any thoughts on when you first began using the program?
I thought it looked great. It was, you know, I see College Publisher as being great for what it was. It was a great content management system, especially a free content management system for its time. Now they've started charging for it, which led us to this fork in the road where we had to choose between Ellington and College Publisher. So, you know, I looked at it and it's really a sleek, cool site. So I think it's going to be great.
Okay. Do you have any idea if we are the first JC in the state of California to make the change to Ellington?
No, I do believe one college beat us to it by signing with Ellington before us. We were in the process of, you know, checking out Ellington when they pitched it to us, when another college, community college here in California, jumped the gun and beat us to it.
Is there anything at all from College Publisher that Ellington is lacking?
Nothing off the top of my head. We're still in, you know, very early phases with actually implementing the site and getting it ready for launch. So the thing that I like about it is it does everything that we needed from College Publisher. And it does so much more. You know, it's really a professional content management system. Professional organizations use it around the country, and even universities and state universities use it. So we're working with some really high-end software.
What is the biggest perk, for lack of a better word, that Ellington has provided to the staff?
Oh, definitely managing students' portfolios, the staff portfolios. A lot of work, you know, in the past would end up being unaccounted for and might get lost, because we had to manually put together these portfolios for each staff member. And now what's great about this is when you put a story in, you put your photos up, whatever it is, it's all automatically added to your portfolio on the site.
Mitch Cameron, Talent Marks Advisor.
Have you gotten a chance to work with the program before the students have?
I've worked with the program, with the content management system for the last month as I learn how to use it, the behind-the-scenes operation of it, so that I can train the students.
What was like the first couple of thoughts when you first started opening the program?
When we first explored Ellington and we looked at its capabilities, there's a lot of wow factors of new things that we can do with the program, with our online site, things that we had hoped to be able to do in our last system, but it was difficult to do there.
I know we are not the first JC to, in the state of California, to actually enroll with Ellington. But we are going to be the first to launch it, right?
Right. Cypress College started the process before we did, but we will be the first community college in the state to launch with Ellington.
Is there anything that College Publisher was able to do that Ellington wasn't?
No, I think it's the other way around. I think there are things that Ellington can do that College Publisher could not. Certainly, College Publisher did it in different ways, some of which seemed a little bit easier. But there are so many new features in this program, it's going to be exciting.
What was the biggest perk, for lack of a better word, that Ellington has provided the staff?
Well, for me as an instructor, the number one feature that's in there that was not in our previous system is the ability to create an electronic portfolio on the fly for every student who contributes to the newspaper, so that when the semester is over, the students have an electronic portfolio that lists everything that they have contributed to the publication.
Is that how they get their grades?
Well, I use that electronic portfolio as part of the grading process, yes.
Do you think that the change into Ellington will be an asset to gaining a new pace setter?
I don't think that the Pace Setter, which is a sweepstakes award for the best college publication in the state, really relies on the tool that you use. It has to do with the content that you put in the tool. And so whether we're using this or WordPress or College Publisher or some other tool, students still need to go out, find quality stories, take quality photos, write quality stories, and do so in a timely fashion.
Does having this new program allow editors to have higher expectations on their staff?
Well, the editors still have to require the students to go out and find stories and write good stories, but with an online system, one of the things that we've been trying to emphasize over the years anyway is we need to post our stories online first and then worry about the print edition. And Ellington gives us some perks with social media capabilities that I think will help us move that direction. But the tool doesn't really dictate that. The students still have to do the work.
This week, Media Blog focuses on the delivery of Talent Mark's first print last week. Staff writer Miguel Hernandez comments on his experience distributing the first paper of the semester. Staff writer Yuri Gutierrez reporting.
Miguel Hernandez. I'm a staff writer. It's my first semester here.
Telemarks had their first paper delivery this past Wednesday, and I understand you engaged in it. What was your experience with it?
It was very fun because we got to go around the school in a golf cart to deliver the newspaper all around the school, and it gave me a chance to also get familiar with the school.
Is this your first semester?
Yes.
Did many Telemarks staff show up to help deliver the paper?
It was me, an editor, another staff writer, and the advisor, so four in total.
As a new member to the staff, how are you liking it so far?
It's intense, but I like it. You know, it's a fast-paced environment, but it challenges me, and I really like it.
Have you sacrificed anything in order to meet deadlines and stuff for the paper?
Yeah, I've come to school and I don't have classes, so I spend a lot of my free time here, so yeah.
Have you been learning a lot of different skills while working for the paper this past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I only did writing mostly, but I'm trying to get into multimedia stuff to do videos and slideshows and a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, thank you. That'd be all.
In sports, Campus News Hour takes a closer look at Cerritos College's men's cross country team. CNH finds out the goals and expectations of this semester's cross-country athletes. Staff writer Paola Perez reporting.
Roy.
Moreno.
What's your major?
Business administration.
Why did you choose to attend Cerritos College?
It's just that it's cheaper than a four-year, and then to transfer to a four-year after, save money.
How was your summer? Like, what did you do as far as, you know, being part of the cross-country team?
We got to know, like, the new teammates, the freshmen coming in. I mean, like, they're very good. Like, they're really good right now. And we just, like, bonded, and now we're just trying to, like, get faster and stuff. We all want, our goal is, like, basically to win state, really. It's a lot of training.
Okay, so you're returning, right?
Yeah.
How does it feel
to be back? It feels good. Now that I've already, like, got my feet wet in the first year, I know what to expect, and I know how to get faster and what I need to do to get faster. My personal goal is to get top 20 in state. And
your team goals?
Team goals is state.
John Acuna.
And what's your major?
Business.
Why did you choose to come to Cerritos College?
I came here for the cross-country and track program. That's about it, yeah. That's the reason why I came. For the programs here, the sports programs, cross-country and track.
All right, so how was your summer? What did you do as far as being part of the cross-country team?
As part of the cross-country team?
Yeah.
We met 6 times a week, 8 a.m. at various spots. We would run anywhere from 50 minutes to 70 minutes almost every day. And we took a trip to Big Bear for the weekend and for elevation training, and pretty much like about it, yeah.
Right. So you're returning, right? How does it feel to be back?
For this coming season?
Yeah.
Our first meet is next Friday. Overall training is going pretty well as a team. I'm very confident that we'll do a very good showing at UCSD opener. We have a lot of big goals for this team, and I believe we'll succeed and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay, is there any particular meet you're looking forward to, or any like school that you're looking forward to competing against?
Competing against, I would say, I used to run for another community college, Orange Coast College. That would be the one team I'd probably be looking forward to race against. The meet I'm actually probably looking forward to would probably be, I would say, conference and the state meet. Those are probably the two biggest meets I'm most looking forward to. And that's championship part of the season, so.
Okay. And what are your personal and team goals for the season?
Personal goals for me, since we run a 4-mile race, my goal is to be under 21 minutes. It's and I would say as a team goal, our team goals is to win conference, and I would say placing in the top tier in state. Those are my two goals for the team.
If you plan to transfer, to what school do you plan to transfer to?
Okay, right now I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm talking to various colleges in the state, California, and across the nation, looking for a track scholarship. Not quite sure yet, but I still got time, so still thinking that over right now. And I'm more focused on this cross-country season right now. It's kind of my main focus right now.
All right, that's about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ranking 6th in the California Community Colleges Football Coaches Association, the Cerritos College football team sees a season of both growth and opportunity this semester. Staff writer Larina Wichick reporting.
How do you feel about your team being ranked number 6 out of 25?
Ooh, amazing. We haven't even played a game. Good. Yeah, that's it's always nice to be ranked, but we're one of the top teams around. You know, we're in the top 12 teams in Southern California, so hopefully that is a reflection of that. You know, preseason polls, you know, junior college is pretty hard because they're kind of based on last year, but everybody loses half their team every year, so it's pretty hard to be real. But in the top 10, yeah, because we should be. We're one of the top teams.
And would you hope to rank next year? And how are you going to get there?
what do I hope to rank next year?
Yeah.
Ooh, next year or next week.
Whatever you want.
Wow, next year it's hard to plan, but we got a good team. You know, I think we're going to be pretty good. We're a little bit young right now, which is going to be a little bit of a challenge, but we're really athletic and talented, so that's a key. We can get all the talent and athleticism and, you know, put it in one big box and get something going out here, we're going to be okay. But I think we're all right. The future ranking, I don't know. Who knows?
Coming next year.
Okay, and how do you feel about your team being ranked number 6 out of 25?
It feels great because it shows that Cerritos does produce top teams and can get the top players from around this area and not have to go out of state and recruit those players out there like some other schools.
And what do you think your guys' practice shirt symbolizes the thing, defend our title?
It means that we got to knuckle up this year and show the teams in the past that we can too on the title.
Kyle, Becca.
Evan, how do you feel about your team being ranked number 6 out of 25?
I don't even know what to say.
I think that's good.
Good.
I mean, I'd rather be below 10 than behind 10.
So, I mean, you confident being number 6 and you're trying to be number 1?
I think we'll be number 1 after the season.
How are you going to get there?
It's hard work. We got a good team.
Hard work, good team. Outside play hard, they got a good team. What should you do better than outside?
Everything.
Like?
We got a good speed tempo, good lifting program, great coaches, good players. I think we'll be strong. We'll be better than them.
With no apparent violations of state or federal law, the removal of two emergency doors from classrooms in the social science building is, according to some students, leaving students and faculty feeling less safe. Campus News Hour speaks with philosophy instructor Ted Stoltz further about this situation. Staff writer Lee McLaren reporting.
We're wondering, like, how safe are we as, like, students with this, you know, mishap going on?
I have no reason to believe this is a violation of any state or federal safety requirements, but I still think we're not as safe as we were. For example, not all classrooms in this building or around campus have two entrances, but these ones did have two, and now they have one. So I would say it's less safe than it used to be, but I wouldn't say it's a violation of, you know, state or federal law. That's not for me to judge. Mostly, I would say, you know, it's annoying because that's not what faculty expected to happen when they took out the old doors. I thought those doors were perfectly functional, and they looked nicer because they had aged, like my door. They didn't take my door. President Lacey, I asked her when I met with her about a month ago, please don't take my door because I like my door just as it is. I don't want that new composite wood that is hollow and just it looks bad. I like aged-looking wood. So, you know, the administration was trying to do something good. I think the contractor got bad information or they misunderstood the information that was given to them in the bid, the contract that they had to do the changes. And faculty weren't involved because it was summer. So faculty came back after the first summer session. Well, most of us weren't around for 6 weeks. We came back and we looked at it. This isn't what we wanted. So the safety issue, I think that's a legitimate issue, but mostly I think faculty were upset because they weren't really advised that a door was going to be sealed up. It looks ugly, and it makes classrooms that were perfectly functional less functional. Less safe in some vague sense, but again, I would not want to be taped and recorded and quoted as saying somehow a violation of the law. I don't believe it's a violation of the law because there are classrooms that have just one entrance, and I think depending on the size of the classroom, the numbers of students, whatever the details are of the law for entrances and exits, those rooms certainly seem to comply. It's the lack of involvement with the faculty. The contractor clearly bungled whatever instructions were given to them. That's what's kind of frustrating. And we hope, you know, obviously they can put back in the doors that were taken out.
Is there an evacuation plan for, like, disabled? You know, if it's one of those situations, I mean...
Well, but I think that would be the same problem. You know, 138, 139, 140, 141 on the sides have just one entrance exit. And you'd have to talk to the safety committee. Chief Bukowicki is the chair of that committee. And I think that's the committee that really should address this question of the legal matters and evacuation matters. I simply don't know if there's evacuation plans for disabled people. In that sense of safety in an earthquake, which is our most likely concern, that's where I think it would be harder actually to get people who are disabled out in a timely manner. But again, is that a violation of state or federal law or disability laws? I'm not the person to ask. You'd have to talk to DSPS. You'd have to talk to the safety committee to get that specific answer.
Have they give an estimate when the doors will be fixed, like replaced again?
My understanding from the president, the most recent word I had, is that the contractor's never going to work here on campus again. And they're going to, my sense is that contractor is going to make it right. But I actually don't know how long it's going to take. We have a coordinating committee meeting today in which that question may come up this afternoon from 1 until 2:30 or so. The president and the other faculty and administrative leaders on campus have this regular meeting. And I don't know that it was resolved at the Senate last week. I think she just said it's going to happen quickly, but I didn't hear a specific timeline. You would have to talk to President Lacey or maybe Tom Ritchie, who's, you know, the interim director of facilities. So I'm not the best person to ask about timelines. Nobody has told me, and I haven't heard it said at either the Senate. Maybe it will come up at the coordinating committee this afternoon when they plan to fix it. But it was known. Faculty complained at the beginning of second summer session, so that would have been July 5th. People came back and were very upset. And here we are at the end of August, so it's been known for well over a month. But there have been, I think the main issue at this point is to figure out why it happened. And I'm not sure if that discussion has turned into how soon they're going to correct the problem.
So are all the teachers on board with you with this?
Well, I think all the faculty in our division who regularly teach in those classes have expressed dismay that it turned out this way. That was not what was expected. And frustration that they weren't involved, but I can't speak for everybody, but the general sense I've had from talking to faculty is that, yeah, it's not just complaining. I mean, there are genuine concerns about disabled students, about the safety issue, about lack of consultation, about the timeliness of correcting the problem. I wouldn't say all faculty, but the faculty that I've talked with, which would be maybe a dozen or so faculty, seem to have that view in our division.
With the California budget cuts going the way they are going, you think this is like the top priority or main priority?
Well, this didn't come out of... my understanding is that the money to improve the buildings, it didn't come out of our general revenues. It came out of the bond money that is intended for new construction and for improving things like restrooms. So restrooms definitely need to be updated and, you know, fixed up and everything. So that's been my understanding. The building was painted. There have been a lot of improvements on the outside of the building. Those came out of my understanding. That's what I've been told, the bond money. These sorts of renovations were supposed to come out of the bond money. So faculty were out of their offices. The doors were replaced as all part of that use of bond money. So even if the state is cutting, which I'm very upset about, like most faculty, this source of revenue is locally generated by a bond within our, you know, within our local area.
Students voiced their opinions on the sealing of two emergency doors in the social science building. In this case, the students clearly state that less is not more.
Do you feel safe in classroom just here this room?
Actually, it was a surprise because I actually felt more safer when the two doors were there, because you have 30 plus kids in one door. You know, that doesn't make any kind of sense. You know, the earthquake was happening. You know, so the door might be more jammed between the escape route and stuff. So I don't like it at all.
Did you discuss this with me? You still take classes in social science, but
yes, I do.
Do you want to see something done?
Yeah.
Like what time frame?
As soon as possible. ASAP.
Like your name?
John.
Just hearing about this disaster right now, like, how do you feel?
I think that it's more of a safety hazard, and I think more exits should be put just in case something bad were to happen. People wouldn't bottleneck with just one door.
When do you want to see something like done?
Maybe someday. Things like that.
So when do you like want to see it done? Like spring?
As possible.
TalonMarks.com and Campus News Hour would like to thank you for listening to today's edition, and we would like to remind you to you can pick up today's TalonMarks newspaper fresh off the presses. Thank you very much, and join us next week at the same time, 10 a.m. Wednesday mornings, for Campus News Hour. For Enrique Rivera and myself, Tito Benavides, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.